Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company on this Monday evening. Another edition of the Irish programme live on ERA on Talk Radio Europe. I hope your week was good. And if you can sit back and relax and just enjoy the next hour, it would be lovely. I've got a few nice bits and pieces coming up for you. There is an event happening in the Irish Embassy in Madrid on Wednesday evening. And I'll be joined shortly on the phone by Richard Fitzpatrick, who will be telling me the subject of the discussion in the Embassy on Wednesday will be a remarkable lady by the name of Margaret Carney Taylor, and she ran a tea room in Madrid called the Embassy Tea Room. We'll give you more information on that shortly. Peter O'Dwyer will be talking to me about Brexit and Ireland. I don't think that'll be a terribly long conversation because, as we know, things are only going to happen this week in relation to Brexit, but I'm sure there's been a little bit happening in Ireland, so we'll find out from Peter what exactly has been going on. I've got some famous Irish birthdays for you happening this week that I think you might be interested in, and some of those birthdays will determine some of the music on the programme. There is a history lesson. We like to look back over the years and things that happened in Ireland down through the years. There will be a Eurovision memory for you. I'll be playing the first Christmas song on Live on ERA for 2018, and we've got other great Irish music in there as well. Don't forget the contact details to the programme if you would like to get in touch at any stage is Ger, G-E-R, at TRE.radio. That is it. Can I say thank you, by the way, to Kevin Quinn, who sent me a note last week. In fact, sent me two notes. One was to tell me that I was some clown. But he put it rather nicely, or put it much nicer than that. He said, Jerry, you mentioned when you were talking about Ronnie Delaney and the anniversary of him winning the gold in Melbourne, that he did it for the marathon. I think you were mixing up John Tracy and Ronnie Delaney. And you're absolutely right, Kevin, I was. Ronnie Delaney, he tells me, won his medal for the 1,500 metres. Of course he did. Yeah, I didn't know that. No point pretending it. I did, but I just wouldn't be, you know, hugely into the whole athletics thing. But anyway, thank you, Kevin, for that. And he also suggested a couple of good ideas for features on the programme, which I will get to, Kevin. I promise, and thank you. And again, the line is open at all stages for anybody to give me a little heads up on what you think we might need to have or would like to have on the programme at any stage. Ger, G-E-R, at TRE.radio. That's the email address. Right, will we get on with some birthdays? I think we should. Some people celebrating their birthdays this week. And we're going to start with today, the 10th of December. Kenneth Branagh, or Branagh, whichever way you want to pronounce it, was born on this very day in Belfast back in 1960. He is, of course, an actor and director. 58 years old today. Happy birthday to Kenneth. Fiona Flanagan, an actor from Dublin, was born on this day in 1941. So happy birthday to Fionnuala. Right, tomorrow, Tuesday, Erskine Childers, the fourth president of Ireland. He was in office for only a short time because he died in office 1973 to 1974. He was born in 1905 on the 11th of December. Wednesday of this week is the 12th, and a man by the name of Gerald Griffin was born in Limerick, and there's a street named after him in Limerick, Gerald Griffin Street. He was a writer. He was born in 1803. Padraig Kearney, who wrote our national anthem, or wrote the words to the national anthem, The Soldier's Song. He was born in Dublin on the 12th of December in 1883. Staying with music, Daniel O'Donnell was born in Donegal in 1960. So happy 58th birthday to wee Daniel. Sinead O'Connor. And Sinead, as you know, was the first artist we played on the programme back in April. She was born in 1966. So Sinead, even though she doesn't go by Sinead O'Connor anymore since she converted to Islam, she's 52 years old on Wednesday. There will be music from Daniel O'Donnell and Sinead O'Connor on the programme. We hop then to Saturday. Edna O'Brien, the Irish writer was born in 1930, 88 years ago on Saturday the 15th, and on Sunday the 16th, we've had a lot of music over the last couple of months from the Dubliners on the programme. Well, another one of the cast, or the members of the Dubliners, Barney McKenna, who passed away a couple of years ago. He was born on the 16th, which is next Sunday, the 16th of December in 1939. So let's get on with some music. I did tell you that the birthdays would shape some of the music on the programme. Indeed it does. And here is Wee Daniel, celebrating his birthday on Wednesday. And to celebrate that, here's a great song. It's called Footsteps. It is live on ERA. It is Talk Radio Europe. And we're here in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Footsteps walking with me. Footsteps I cannot see. But every move I make and every step I take, I know they're there with me. They walk with me all the way. Beside me day by day. Through good and bad, through happy and sad, those footsteps won't go away. I'll never walk in life alone. There'll always be someone there. I know he won't let me down. He's with me everywhere. The special things in life I've done have been through him and his love. I've been blessed in so many ways, thanks to the Lord above. Footsteps walking with me. Footsteps I cannot see. But every move I make and every step I take, I know they're there with me. They walk with me all the way. Beside me day by day. Through good and bad, through happy and sad, those footsteps won't go away. I think that my life's been planned by the one who's guiding me. When I'm led by the hand of someone I can see, I'm not always sure where to go. That's when I follow his lead. I know that the pathway that he shows will help me to succeed. Footsteps walking with me. Footsteps I cannot see. But every move I make and every step I take, I know they're there with me. They walk with me all the way. Beside me day by day. Through good and bad, through happy and sad, those footsteps won't go away. Through good and bad, through happy and sad, by my side they will stay.
That's a nice song from Daniel O'Donnell. It's called Footsteps. We're going to take a very quick break. Come back to me just after that. I will be talking to a man by the name of Richard Fitzpatrick. He's actually a Clareman, he tells me. And I'll be talking to him about a remarkable lady. And that lady's name is Margaret Carney Taylor. Don't go anywhere.
Live on ERA, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
On Wednesday evening, the 12th of December at 7:30 in the official residence of Ireland, that's the ambassador's residence in Madrid, there is a special event happening to celebrate International Human Rights Day 2018. And there is an evening being presented by a chap by the name of Richard Fitzpatrick, who is a producer of the RTE documentary Tea Room Taylor, Save Your Spy. And there is another journalist from El País involved in that as well. I'm going to talk right now to Richard Fitzpatrick about Margaret Carney Taylor. Richard, thank you for joining us on the phone.
Thanks for having us on, sure.
A big night coming up on Wednesday, yourself and Guy Hedgecoe. Richard, firstly, a little bit about yourself before we start talking about Margaret Carney Taylor.
I'm an immigrant like Margaret Taylor Carney, born and raised in Ennis, County Clare, and moved to Spain in 2010. I live in Barcelona, and I work as a journalist, predominantly as a print journalist and radio as well, and write a couple of books. And my background is in features. That's how I discovered the Margaret Taylor Kearney story.
Interesting times. So, tell us, who is Margaret Kearney Taylor?
Yeah, what an extraordinary lady. I first heard about her in around 2015, I think it was. A friend of mine in Madrid, Joe Haslam, an entrepreneur and a university lecturer, told me about her story. There wasn't really much on the internet about her. I'd heard that she was this Irish immigrant who had opened a tea room in Madrid.
Okay.
And there was a story that she had helped as part of an escape network, helping British servicemen and Jewish refugees escape through Spain during the Second World War.
Okay.
So I started digging into her story, and we produced a documentary, a radio documentary, as you mentioned, for RTE about her life story and about that escape network. It's an extraordinary episode in Second World War history, one of many, of course, during that period.
Right. And what do you know, or what do we know about Margaret Kearney Taylor before the tea room and before Spain, and what was the Irish connection?
Everywhere I turned, people spoke about her, including people who I interviewed for the documentary, about her being this Irish immigrant. But as it turned out, she was actually born in Bournemouth in the south coast of England in the 1890s.
All right.
But her mother was Irish. She was born in a workhouse in Kanturk in County Cork in 1871. And this was a kind of clue to Margaret's story. She was a very secretive woman, not in a sinister way, kind of the times, and also because of her family background. Her mother was born illegitimate, and Margaret herself was born illegitimate in Bournemouth. So she kind of carried on, and she dragged herself up by the bootstraps and ended her life, you know, a successful businesswoman. But even more than that, no, she ran this tea room in the wealthiest part of Madrid. The friends that she kept in Spain were extraordinary. Her clients who became good friends of hers, the cream of Spanish society, Frederica, the Queen of Greece, whose daughter Sofia became the Queen of Spain. She was married to Juan Carlos de Stroganov, Russian aristocrat, exiled family. Also, most tellingly, Ramon Serrano Bernier. This guy was the brother-in-law of General Franco, the fascist dictator who ruled Spain during the Second World War and for many decades. He was the go-to guy for the Nazis during the Second World War in Spain.
Right.
Spain at the time was neutral. And so for Margaret Taylor Kearney to be a good friend of this guy was unbelievable because of the location of her tea room, which was only two doors away from the German embassy, which housed about 1,000 German spies during the Second World War.
Right.
And at the same time, this is going on, and she was part of this escape network, which I mentioned, helping Jewish refugees escape through Spain to the United States and Britain and Palestine. So some of them were being housed in the apartment above her tea room, right under the nose of the Nazis. That was kind of a measure of the double life she led, that she could keep the friends in high places and yet be carrying on this covert work behind closed doors.
And her tea room was called the Embassy Tea Room, wasn't it?
It was. It was called the Embassy Tea Room, a kind of fashionable tea salon styled on the kind of tea salons of London and Paris. She had lived in Paris before she moved to Madrid, and they kind of introduced newfangled ideas like cocktails from the United States as well. And it's very, very sad that the tea room was open right up until last year, but sadly it had to close its doors because of high rent in the city.
Okay.
They still have a couple of other shops in the city and a cafe, but unfortunately it was a very atmospheric tea room. I've been in there many times. It would be famous with celebrities. Like when I was in there last, you know, you would see on the walls pictures of all kinds of American and Spanish celebrities, like the strangest people, like ZZ Top and, you know, the bullfighters, you name it.
Right.
But so it was very unfortunate. She died herself in Margaret in 1982 at the grand old age of 93.
Oh, wow. Wow.
She was an amazing woman.
In the bit of information that I got from the embassy, I was told that she bravely provided refuge for some 30,000 refugees who were evacuated through Spain during the war. And do we know about the network that she had and how she managed to do that? And or was it just the contacts that she had?
Yeah, it's quite an elaborate, network. So 30,000 Jewish refugees in total passed through Spain during the Second World War. Spain was neutral at the time. But Margaret's network, she ran in conjunction with a number of other people. The mainstay of the operation was a doctor, Dr. Martinez. He faked medical records which sprung these Jewish refugees from and the British servicemen from concentration camp up in the Basque country.
Right.
And they were ferried down to Madrid, and a lot of the refugees would have come through France across the Pyrenees. For the radio documentary, he interviewed a Jewish survivor. He was 8 at the time. He passed through Madrid in 1941.
Right.
Used to fake document papers for these as well in the city, in the British Embassy in Madrid. And so it was quite an elaborate setup.
Okay. And do we know anything about her connection with Ireland? We know, as you said, that her mother was from Kinturk, but did she ever come to Ireland? Had she an affiliation with the Irish? Or was that just the connection, the fact that she was born into an Irish mother?
It was more she was so proud of her Irish heritage. Anyone I interviewed, it was amazing. In the documentary, people who would have known her, people who worked in the embassy tea room, they were amazed that she wasn't Irish. So she passed herself off as Irish. Her Irish heritage was obviously very important to her.
Right.
I guess because she came from that, you know, it would have been just her and her mother against the world.
Okay.
That's why her Irish roots were so important to her. I don't know if she visited Ireland.
Right.
She would have left England, kind of worked her way up. She was in Paris in the 20s. Her only daughter, Consuelo, was born in Paris in 1924. That's another story. She was born to a Spanish diplomat who worked for Primo de Rivera, the Spanish dictator in the 1920s.
Yeah.
And Margarita won a legal case against him. He had to provide Consuelo's name, or Consuelo was allowed to take his name, which was unheard of at the time.
Okay.
But it was this kind of line of illegitimacy in the family, and very kind of strange, but it was not unusual again for the time, you know.
Okay.
Margarita, her mother, and her daughter, in retracing her roots. I know she had to leave Spain with Consuelo during the Spanish Civil War. They left from Santander, but they went to Southampton, but they fought out the war in England. So I don't know if she did visit Ireland.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on to Wednesday evening then, yourself and Guy will be at the Embassy of Ireland in Madrid, and you're hosting a discussion on the life of Margaret Carney Taylor. Starts at 7:30. So what can people expect? Just a general chat on who she was, and will you be taking questions?
I'll speak for about half an hour. Guy will introduce the discussion, and I'll just go into more depth about what we've been talking about, the biography of Margarita, about the tea room, and about the escape network. And then afterwards, we'll open it up to the floor for discussion.
Great.
And there'll be several people who were interviewed in the documentary, in the radio documentary, will be there that evening. Again, these are people whose parents would have been part of the network, and who would have known Marguerite as young people. It's the current owners of the embassy team. Adriana, who's a lady in her 40s, she would have referred to Margarita as her granny.
Right.
Kind of intimate with her.
Great. All right. And before I let you go, let me ask you about the documentary, because I would like to hear it. Is it available on the RTE website?
Yeah.
Okay. Was this part of the documentary on One, or documentary at One series?
Exactly. Okay. RTE documentary on One. They're an excellent.
They're and they've produced an excellent documentary down through the year. So I will certainly go looking for that. But listen, we wish you well on Wednesday evening, 7:30, as I said, at the Embassy of Ireland in Madrid. And Richard, thanks for talking to me today. You're obviously leading a fairly fascinating life in Barcelona, are you?
Yeah, sure. It's a great country. It's so diverse, and you know, with the Catalan question here in Barcelona as well, and just a place steeped in history and lots of ties with Ireland as well.
Great.
So plenty of stories there.
All right. Well, listen, good to talk to you and good luck on Wednesday evening.
Great. Thanks, sir.
That's appreciate Richard it. Fitzpatrick, producer of the RTE documentary Tea Room Taylor Saviour Spy, a documentary about Margaret Carney Taylor. And there will be a discussion, as you heard, to celebrate International Human Rights Day 2018 at the Embassy of Ireland on Wednesday evening, this coming Wednesday at 7:30.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away. I go out every night and sleep all day since you took your love away. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whomever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant, but nothing, I said nothing can take away.
Song, isn't that absolutely gorgeous, from back around 1989 or in around there. It's Sinead O'Connor and that beautiful Prince song, which was called Nothing Compares to You. Right, I am going to take a very short break, come back to me after that, and I am going to play for you the very first Christmas song of 2018 on Live on Era, and it's a fabulous song. It was sent to me by PJ Curtis, a man whose name you would have mentioned or you would have heard on the programme over the last couple of weeks and months. And PJ is a lot of things, but one of the things that he does so brilliantly is he arranges and produces music, and he's got a fabulous ear for really talented people. And he sent me a note during the week, so thank you, PJ, for that, to tell me about a lady by the name of, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Fiona Geheen. And Fiona recorded a song last Christmas called A Christmas Wish, and he sent it to me and said, Gerard, if you're playing Christmas music over the holiday period, you might like to include this. And when I heard it, not only did I like, did I want to include it, I want to play it just continuously. It is fabulous. So we will be taking that track. It's our first Christmas song, and it's coming up just after this commercial break.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney, in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
In this green land there's an honest way, a friendly hand and a gentle face. Light can shine from anything at Christmas. The pure of heart is on his knees, praying for the hurt and the weak. There's a cross to bear and a meal to share at Christmas. And the bells go jingle through the night. All around the world, in a different place, it's Christmas. And the bells go jingle through the night. All around the world, at a different time, it's Christmas. Jungle closed and the borders fell. There came a song from the poor man's well. There's a sailor's hand saving a life at Christmas. So when the evening glows from west to the east, if you're up or down or finding your feet, pick a star in the sky and watch it fly this Christmas. At a different time, it's Christmas.
Didn't I tell you that that was absolutely gorgeous? Our first Christmas song of 2018 from a young lady by the name of Fiona Guihine, and it is just superb. I think it's great. Her surname is spelled G-U-I-H-E-E-N. And you can find that song on YouTube. You can also find other stuff that she has recorded as well. And on that particular song, can I say thank you again to PJ Curtis for sending it to me. It's a full Clare production. It was written by a man by the name of Ronan Daly from Ennis. It was arranged and produced by said same PJ Curtis and recorded at Milltown Malbay Studios, Martin O'Malley and the crew there. So thank you very much for passing it on to me. Right, I think we might hear that again. I think we might, but not today. Obviously not today. We're going to do a little bit of a history lesson now. Some things that happened down through the years across Ireland, starting with today's date, the 10th of December. It was 1920 on that day that martial law was imposed in Cork, Kerry, Limerick and Tipperary. 1977, on this day, Mairead Corrigan and Betty Williams received the Nobel Peace Prize. I remember that well. I was only 10 at the time. 1998, on this day, the Irish and British governments launched a fresh search for a breakthrough in the Northern Ireland peace process in the wake of the joint award of the Nobel Peace Prize to Ulster's political leaders, David Trimble and John Hume. Tomorrow, the 11th of December, 1936 was the year, and in the wake of the abdication of Edward VIII, the Dáil passed legislation removing the King from the Irish Constitution and abolishing the position of Governor General. It was on the 11th of December in 1979 that Charles Haughey was elected Taoiseach. 12th of December 1955, so Wednesday is the anniversary of that, the Cork Opera House was destroyed by fire. 1975, on the 12th of December, a six-day siege on Balcombe Street in London ended peacefully after four IRA gunmen freed their two hostages and gave themselves up to police. Again, something else I remember. 1975, long time ago. Thursday is the 13th of December, and it was on that date back in 1960 that Aer Lingus's first jet, the Boeing 707, St. Patrick, made its inaugural flight. In the year 2000, on that date, crowds roaring their approval greeted Bill and Hillary Clinton on stage at the Odyssey Arena in Belfast, confirming the first couple's enduring popularity in Northern Ireland. 2001, on the 13th of December, Queen's University honoured Manchester United legend George Best with an honorary doctorate in recognition of his services to football. It was in 2002, for the eighth year, the only live Christmas crib in Ireland opened in the forecourt of the Mansion House on Dawson Street in Dublin. On that particular year, the nativity scene featured two llamas, as well as the usual donkeys, calves, goats and sheep. On the 14th of December, back in 1900, so Friday is the anniversary of this, Maud Gonne and Paul Kruger, former president of the Transvaal, were offered the freedom of Limerick by the City Council. 1921 on that date, Dáil Éireann began the Anglo-Irish Treaty debate. 1955, the Republic of Ireland became a member of the United Nations. It was on the 14th of December in 1982 that Garrett Fitzgerald succeeded Charles Haughey as Taoiseach. 1985, on that day, Jack Charlton quit as the Ireland soccer manager. And in 2001, on the 14th of December, Euro kits distributed by the central bank went on sale in post offices throughout the country. Demand for the packs, comprising of 19 coins and priced at £5, which was €6.35, was brisk. And nearly all of the big towns and cities sold out by the evening. I remember that well too. Of course, it was only 2001. Saturday is the 15th of December, and on that day, back in 1993, Albert Reynolds and John Major signed the Downing Street Declaration. Albert, of course, being the Irish Taoiseach, John Major being the Prime Minister of Britain. If the IRA stopped its campaign for 3 months, they said Sinn Féin would be allowed to join all-party talks. And finally, Sunday is the 16th of December. It was on that day back in 1653 that Oliver Cromwell became Lord Protector of Ireland. How did that work out? 1998, more than 250 guests paid tribute to broadcaster Gay Byrne at a surprise farewell party on the Late Late Show. And finally, this is where we get our next piece of music from. It was on the 16th of December in 1987 that The Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl reached number 2 in the British charts. And here it is.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, won't see another one. And then I sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you baby, I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
They got cars big as bars, they got rivers of gold, but the windows right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, "Go away, babe." And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
That
you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're all sad, my God, it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD chorus still singing, "Go away, babe." And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
I could have been someone. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing, "Go away, babe." And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
There we go. That's a song that we couldn't get away without playing at Christmas time. It comes from the Pogues and the late Kirsty MacColl, and a song called Fairy Tale of New York. During the year, I watched a fabulous documentary on television about the writing of it and the recording of it and putting together of it. It was fascinating. If you ever get a chance to see it, do so, please. Got to take a very quick break right now. Come back to me just after that, and we will have a Eurovision Song Contest memory for you.
On Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme, the final part of the programme, and I promised you that we'd look at a Eurovision Song Contest, and if you have been paying attention, you will know that we are up as far as 1980. We started at the very first one that we entered, Ireland entered, back in 1965. Well, it's 1980, and if you know your Eurovision, you will know that was a special year, but there was a bit of drama as well, and I didn't realise that there's actually lots of drama goes on in relation to the Eurovision Song Contest. Anyway, we'll tell you all about it shortly. It was the 25th Eurovision Song Contest that year. It was held on the 19th of April in The Hague. Now, the presenter was Marloes Floetsma, but unusually, each song in this particular Eurovision Song Contest was introduced by a presenter from the participating nation. And in that year, The Irish entry was introduced by Thelma Mansfield. There's a name. There's a blast from the past, Thelma Mansfield. Anyway, Israel, if you recall, were actually the winners back in 1979. They declined to host the 1980 show for the second time in a row as the IBA could not fund another international production, and the Israeli government turned down a request to extend the IBA budget. The European Broadcasting Union then set the broadcast on Israel's Day of Remembrance for its casualties of war, so Israel was forced to withdraw. After Spain, who was the second place winner in 1979, and reportedly the UK, refused to host, well, then the Netherlands finally agreed to host the show in a scaled-down production. Australian-born Johnny Logan represented Ireland and was the winner of the Eurovision Song Contest in 1980 with the song What's Another Year. This was Ireland's second time winning the competition, having won it back in 1970 with All Kinds of Everything. So it was a year with a zero, but also coincidentally, it was won that year by Dana, also on Dutch soil. So lucky for Ireland. Let's take a listen to it. The winning Eurovision Song Contest song for 1980 from Ireland, Johnny Logan, and What's Another Year.
I've been waiting such a long time, looking out for you, but you're not here. What's another year? I've been waking such a long time, reaching out for you, but you aren't near. What's another year? Someone who's getting used to being alone. I've been crying such a long time, with such a lot of pain in every tear. What's another year? What's another year?
Johnny Logan and a song called What's Another Year. 1980 was the year it won the Eurovision Song Contest in The Hague, as I told you just before we played it. Right, let's go to things more mundane right now, and let's talk Brexit. Peter O'Dwyer is on the phone with us. Peter is the senior business reporter with The Times Ireland. Peter, it's good to talk to you again this evening. Let's start by confirming that Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and Theresa May, British Prime Minister, had a conversation last night. Do we know what went on between the two of them?
They discussed Brexit, of course. They discussed that the vote was coming up on Tuesday. I'd love to be able to tell you in a bit more detail what they spoke about in relation to those issues, but it was kind of radio silence. It was just confirmation from the Taoiseach spokesman that this conversation had happened, but there was no details released, which I suppose is in line with what we were discussing last week, where the Irish government have just stood back from this and let Theresa May try and get the deal over the line without saying anything. So even though it looks like that's not going to succeed, they're still keeping out of it until such time as that happens, I think. This morning in Brussels, Simon Coveney at Tánaiste was speaking to reporters, and he said that if the vote does fail tomorrow, it's not going to be a catalyst for going back to Europe and asking for a renegotiation of the deal. He said the deal is the deal. It took 2 years to put together. It's fair from both sides. He said that it protected peace on the island and that the backstop was never an offer from one side to the other. It wasn't something that Europe concocted and offered to the UK to agree to. It was a solution that was worked out between the two of them. So he was, I suppose, emphasizing that there was shared responsibility for this. It wasn't something that Europe or Ireland was foisting on the UK. So he's towing the party line, I suppose, but reiterating quite strongly that if Brexiteers in Parliament in the UK think that voting down the deal tomorrow is going to be a catalyst for going back to Europe and getting what they would see to be a better and different deal, that that's not going to be the case.
All right. And has there been any reaction to the official ruling this morning in relation to Britain having the option, if they want to take back the letter for Article 50? We heard about that last week, but it was confirmed this morning. Any reaction on the ground?
No, very little so far. I think probably on the basis of the fact that, as you say, we pretty much knew this last week. As we were told, when the Advocate General gives his preliminary finding on this, 80% of the time the court judgment follows pretty much the exact same, and that as it has panned out. So I think it's quite clear, really, that while some people in the UK, especially in the Labour Party, and those who think that Brexit should be cancelled and you go back to a people's vote and, you know, put it to the people again, they see this as being quite important. But in reality, I suppose it's not really. I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference. It's not going to give the UK too much leeway. It's not going to give them bargaining power. Mm-hmm. You know, if they want to cancel it, they're still going to put it to the people and they're still going to seek their approval for it. So I don't think it's going to make too much difference. It was funny, actually, I was listening to RT Radio this morning and Edwina Curry, the former Tory MP, was on, and she was asked, did she think it was important? And she said basically the same, that she didn't think it was overly significant, but it would be very helpful and significant, she said, if the European Court of Justice would rule that Britain could strike a Brexit deal and that that wouldn't have to be approved by the other member states, okay. Essentially that they could draw up their own deal and Ireland and all the other member states wouldn't have to approve it. That's the kind of level of critical thinking that's going on in the UK in at least some circles. So I don't think the other than that sort of reaction, there hasn't been a huge amount.
All right. I would like to think that next week, getting closer to Christmas, it would be a Brexit-free zone, but I have a funny feeling there'll be a lot to talk about next week, so I think we should park it there until next week, if that suits you.
Yeah, perfect.
All right. Peter O'Dwyer, the Senior Business Reporter with The Times Ireland. Thanks, Peter, for joining us, and we'll chat to you next week on the programme.
Thanks, Chair.
And that's my lot for today, indeed this week as well. I do hope you have enjoyed the programme as much as I have enjoyed putting it together and presenting it to you. Thank you very much to everybody who continues to get in touch with me. The contact details for the programme, as always, ger@tre.radio. It's as simple as that. Can I say, as always, a big thank you to our Spanish-Irish cultural consultant on the programme, Jose Antonio Sierra, who has been invaluable over the last couple of months. Can I say thank you as well to my colleagues here at Talk Radio Europe for their continued support and promotion of Live on Air. We're getting closer to the Christmas programme. I have a lot of it kind of put together already in terms of content, and I know what we're going to do. If you would like to send greetings for Christmas to anybody over the airwaves on the Christmas Eve programme, which is Monday fortnight, imagine that, please do get in touch, ger@tre.radio. Until next week, from me, look after yourselves and each other. Thank you for your company today. Got to leave you with this great song. Comes from Paul Brady. It's called Hawanaway. Until next week, bye-bye.
presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.